Goedemiddag allemaal, dank jullie wel dat jullie zijn. I'm going to do this talk in English, that's what I announced. So, nice to meet you all. I'm going to tell you today about why my stairs are using 6 IP addresses and why they run JavaScript. Let me first introduce myself a bit. My name is Jelle. I'm a programmer by day, a DevOps dude, basically self-taught since whenever I came from school and needed to bridge the gap to what I do in business. I've been open sourcing stuff since 2009, mostly PHP, JavaScript projects, some larger and smaller. In my recent years, I've been more hacking, doing responsible disclosures, joined DIVD, but I also still have a passion for hardware hacking and JavaScript and tinkering and stuff like that. This is a program I created called Ducky TV, which is kind of like Netflix, but with torrents, and you create your own TV schedule. Also got slightly out of hand, but that's not what this presentation is about. This presentation is about me having bought a house. Yay! It's almost 100 years old, and I was able to afford it because it has a leaky roof, it had leaky windows, it had leaky bricks, with cracks everywhere. There was mold below everything, and it's been worn out to the bone at the point that I bought it by Polish people who've been living there for 6 years and did not need to pay the energy bill, so they put the heating up to 25. You can probably kind of imagine the amount of damp mold, moisture, and damage that does. This was one of the pictures I took on a viewing. You can actually see the leaky windows and the mold on the windowsills. Not fun. But I was able to afford it at just the right time, and we were like, well, then we're going to fix it up ourselves and do bit by bit what I can afford to have done, I will let do, and I'll do the rest myself. While I'm also working a 40-hour job, and we're raising a kid. And I'm doing this on my own income. So when I bought the house, I was able to add a little bit on top, so to get those windows replaced immediately and do some bare essentials. But, well, we'll get to some of those choices later on. I would like to have spent it on the roof instead of on the windows, but both had to happen. The problem with roofs is that they don't immediately show their damage, but when it starts leaking, it's already way too late. And it's pretty much fun if you've just redone this wall and it starts leaking again and you can redo it again. And but anyway, I bought a house. Now, this year is the first year that I've had it completely watertight, and now I can finally bear the fruits of my labor. Before I bought this, I was a little bit into DIY. I mean, I built a treehouse once, and I built some tiny furniture, but I've never taken up construction stuff like this. Tearing down walls, building walls, woodworking, plastering, everything. I think I can do it, but never had a reason to. Would rather have somebody pay somebody to do it, but I just don't have the money for it. So I've been doing everything myself. Thankfully, there's YouTube to acquire some skills. The one interesting part about this house was these extremely ugly stairs. I actually did like the curvature of the plastering above it, but this part here was some deco pattern with yellowish, pinkish tint on it. The paint itself, you can see, is all damaged, scuffed up, has been painted over and over again and over again, and that 15 times. The walls were plastered by a drunk baboon because it was all crooked and messy and moldy. If you put one straight edge along it, you could see the wobbling everywhere. It had to be redone, but calculate myself how much it would cost to have somebody else do that. Wasn't able to afford this. So, let's DIY it anyway. What could go wrong, right? And we started tearing stuff down because, of course, there was more leakages and I needed to assess how bad the damage was. Thankfully, it was okay-ish. But this was the basic feeling when we started doing that, and that continued throughout. Also on top, so I took down all of this, which is a very, very messy job, because every bit that you pull down creates a little bit of cloud of dust. So we sprayed water to turn the dust into bigger droplets that will immediately go down. That helps a lot. I had not hoped that I had to remove this whole section, and thankfully I didn't, so I was able to fix it up. The stairs were actually still intact, even though there was some water damage. But it had to go down much further. I took it all down to the bare wood, and the wood, the stone down to the bare brick. And even further. And then I redid it all. Which is actually quite a fun job, because all this stuff, it looks harder than it is. If you can take your time on it, then it's just a matter of applying layer by layer and correcting yourself when you've did something too much. You can just sand it down and start over. Put a little extra grounding layer on top of it and correct yourself. I had a little T-square that you can just slide down and make nice straight edges. And in the end, it gets all shiny if you do it properly enough. It costs a lot of time, but thankfully I can put in that time bit by bit. Not like the plasterers that you rent that go run around your house in one day. I could not do it that way. So this whole process that you just saw took a couple weeks. Onto the stairs, I also tore those completely down, stripped all the paint, re-primed it, then re-plastered it and put wood filling on it to make it all smooth and nice. I'm almost in the final section now, where I'm using a literal kilometer of sticky tape to do one of these layers, so everything has to be masked off to get the lines straight. And it now starts looking like the final product that I envisioned. A tiny before and after and in between shot of how it looked and now looks. Not there yet, but almost there. So then why does my stairs now use 6 IP addresses? Well, my wife, she is as blind as a bat at night, or how do you say that actually? She basically can't see, she has night blindness, which means that your eyes may need to adjust and you will see a bit more, but for her, she sees just a fraction of what an average person can see. And while I was staring down all this stuff anyway, I was like, why not poke a hole through it and put a LED strip on it? That would be nice, that would be easy. I thought. It was, kind of. So for version 1, the prototype was really actually quite quick. I had one of these 16 relay boards, which are basically electronically controlled switches. You say, I want to turn on relay 1, and it does click, and it turns on the 5 volts that you put through it and spews them to the LED. The sensors were tiny pair sensors housed in a little tube so that it could only look straight away, so that you don't have too much stray lighting. It worked, but it wasn't super appreciated by the wife. For the wiring, you can see I just stripped down some UTP because that's cheap and has 8 wires in it anyway, which are paired up already anyway, and it's good wire. So I stripped them all down and I fed 2 wires to each step. Bundling and then making that nice in the end was definitely something that I was planning to do later on. Now been, of course, properly implemented. But this is about what it looked back in those early days. Let's see if we have sound. We have no sound, but you hear click, 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 and then they go off. Click, 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 click. That got annoying quite quickly because the cats loved it. At 3 a.m., they like to test how fast they can run up. Oh, I'm gone. I just need to do next. Yes. So then that was my signal. Okay, I need to do something better than this. And I think I can, because, well, I design systems for myself, and I like to tinker with those microelectronics. So I already had some of those ESP32s, and I thought, that's fun. I can work with that. I wanted to improve some things, like ditch those relays. And I wanted to have 18 LEDs, not 16. Because then I could also add the bottom tread and the very top tread and make the full experience, because my stairs have 18 steps. I selected those tiny ESP8266 that you see right here on top as the sensors. I will talk a little bit more about that. And I decided to make the whole system talk to each other via Wi-Fi. I have home Wi-Fi up already, so why not? They're all on my home Wi-Fi. They all talk to each other. I gave them static IP addresses on the DHCP reservation, so I could just flash the IP address of the server to the sensor. Good enough. Worked for years. No problems. To solve the problem with the relays, the clickety-clack, the solution was PWM, which means that you change the pulse width of a voltage. You can actually fade in and fade out an LED instead of having it bam on the full 5 volt that it's normally getting from the relay. You have these really nice boards, and actually I have two of them here. One wire got unplugged. You can have two wires coming in from your Raspberry Pi or whatever. They go up here, and from here you can control 16 channels and then actually loop them up. So I can add more and more and more and more here, up to 192 channels or something. They're really awesome tools. And they're cheap. Oh, I see. I made the actual calculation. 62 devices in a row means 992 LEDs. I don't hope anybody of you has a stair system like that. And it communicates via I2C, which is those two wires, which is really simple. It can perform even bus scanning to see what devices are on the bus, which is also very handy, and we'll come back in later. And they're really cheap solutions, like €3 for one of those. Then I had to decide. I already made this nice box where I put this stuff in and designed little 3D printed housing. Am I going to continue with this ESP32? Because I had the idea about making this fade in and fade out, and something was boiling in my brain about a timeline engine, but doing that on an ESP32 in Arduino IDE, that opened up a whole box of challenges in my mind that I didn't want to solve in this problem. For this project, I quickly switched to Node MCU, but that was way too underpowered, which is a JavaScript running version of an ESP32. It was not fast enough to get those PWMs running. I didn't like the challenge. So I chose a no-challenge hardware solution. I switched to a Raspberry Pi 0W, full-blown Linux installation on it. Raspbian, it has Node.js installed. Supervisor D, which is something that keeps the process up and running. So if it crashes, it will automatically restart. Very handy. I could do a database on it, and I can communicate the I2C bus. I could use MQTT on Mosquito, just apt install all home automation stuff for those that don't know it. And I could just SSH into it, which is really fine for me. For the sensors, I have them in a small version here. I created a little sort of pouch with magnets. So the actual sensor module itself that does detecting if you walk by, I'll come back on that later, is behind the sticky tape here. It's a really tiny laser time of flight sensor, which means there's a really small chip which has both an emitter and a receiver. It sends a light pulse, and it measures how long it takes for it to come back, which gives you a centimeter readout. from like a 1 by 2 square millimeter chip. They get attached to this, that gets looped into the HTTP communication to MQTT, and it will just boot up and start spewing statistics. This was, it's probably a bit hard to read for y'all, but this was the whole sketch in Arduino IDE in, what's it called? The Arduino IDE, right? Yeah. in Arduino IDE, mostly logging, startup, connect to Wi-Fi, start sending statistics, and the server can, based on those measurements, do something with those statistics or discard them right away. For the server, I started a Node.js project, which starts a little web server and starts listening to those statistics coming in and starts dividing them up for which channel, because you want to have a sensor at the top of your stairs and one at the bottom of your stairs, so you can see where people are coming from. I added a little graph plotter so you can actually visualize those measurements, which is handy to debug stuff. And I made an abstraction layer for plugging in all these shitty wires, because you have to assume you have 18 strands or more, probably 20, that you have to all plug in and get in the right order, and it's a nightmare. It's much handier if you could just plug them in anywhere and just say in software which pin links to which step on your stairs. That's something you should only have to do once, and then it's good. So I put some effort in that, which also came in handy later for the web interface. And I built an animation engine. This animation engine I will go into a little bit further. But this did the basic fade in, fade out. At this point in time, I want to make these LEDs go to this brightness. Could be all of them, it could be some of them, could be none of them. And those effects I could make up in code, semi-hard code them, and just hit a demo button and it will start playing. Now this pin mapper overview is, actually people have seen me play with it around a little bit. I have made a little demo stairs for you actually, which is the most compact version I could make. I have 17 LED strips, and the things all plugged in the wrong order. So this one, these ones are on this device, and these ones are on this device. And by just clicking the checkbox, you can say, okay, now it's the next one. This one comes to this number, or you can just manually fill the text inputs. And the animation engine I built also had a slightly over-engineered web interface in HTML5. Because it's JavaScript anyway, so why not? I like, that's actually one of the things I like a lot about JavaScript, that you could run the same code in Node.js and import exactly the same code again in your browser and make it do exactly the same thing. So I made this test. You could scan the QR code if you want, and then it will even run on your phone and give the demo effect from how I had it back then. As you can see here on the timeline, it will have at a certain spot in time, at 0 milliseconds, it defines a fade in, which just says fade in LEDs 1 to 5 over 200 milliseconds. And it goes on to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. There could be multiple events on the timeline for that point in time. So it could fade in some and fade out others, or even combine stuff. Things that I can't even think about yet, but somebody else could build. And you can also put a timeline inside a timeline. We'll come back to that later as well. Coding-wise, the timeline is basically a glorified linked list. It says at this point in time, add this effect. Then later on, the animation engine comes by and says to the timeline, the current time is now 250 milliseconds in, and it asks the timeline engine, give me a list of what effects are active now. That's the basic idea behind it. And then that list of effects can then be used and asked, what are your active LEDs? The render loop uses this again. it iterates over all the pins of all the items that it gets, sets the brightness, updates the current start time, and starts the process over again. So it goes as fast as it can, and it updates the position for each millisecond that increases. I tried that step by step as well, and here's a demo of the fade to. Fade in, of course you all know, is go from off to on or to a certain brightness. Fade out goes from a brightness to off, but fade to uses the pin mapper that actually already knows what's previously been done and plucks the current brightness from this. And you can then transition from one state to another, which is really handy, a really handy effect to have. And it's sort of a base component for other animations. That's a large bit of the architecture behind it. Back to a little bit of woodworking, because when I was walking up those stairs, you were looking straight into those LEDs with your eyes, and I hated it. So I went to the local supply store and got these hockey stick frames. You just cut them up, tack them up to the board, and then you want to squish the LED strips behind them and add a little bit of an angle so that they point towards the backboard instead of right into your eyes. The best solution for attaching the LED strips, if you do them bare like me, is just hold glue. It allows you to instantly fix them. It will stay on forever. And you can tear them down if you need to ever change them. You will not see it anyway. It won't get wet, so hot glue is a perfectly valid solution. I made a new box. I don't have one with me, but you can see the Raspi on the left. I made a little wiring harness that has incoming 5 volts, and it just takes a couple of those wires, splices them up, and feeds those 5 volts into both the LED drivers and the Arduino, which is also what this is. I can just unplug this whole USB box and it will just stop working. So the whole system runs on 5 volts and really low amperage and usage. If you want to do stuff like this yourself, I can advise you to also buy one of those crimping pliers and the assortment of connectors that go with them, because you will spend many hours crimping those connectors and making sure that they are on every wire, because you have to feed them through anyway, and that's not a fun process, but it's a necessary process. But the end result is, if I say so, pretty sexy. So I come down my stairs and they light up one by one. They do a little pre-fade first so your eyes can get used to it, because just blasting full visibility into your eyes. I'm walking through my hallway now, and now you're looking down the stairs, which are coming on while you're walking down. And then they also fade out from the top to the bottom, depending on the direction that you're coming from. So one by one, they will just completely go away. Can your question wait until after? Sure. It's after a certain time currently, because detecting whether you need to start a new animation from the bottom to the top, or if the person actually ended up at the bottom, is kind of hard and an annoying thing. So now comes version 3, consequences of my own actions. I told you about hard coding those IP addresses. Yeah, that was a mistake. It all worked perfectly for a couple of years, and then my router got some maintenance, my ARP tables got cleared, my complete config got cleared, and every address in my house got a new IP address. Every device in my house got a new IP address. Funny enough, some of them were close, but now when you walk up the stairs downstairs, the animation for upstairs triggers. This was not fun, because that meant I had to take out everything and reflash all those things with the same code or new IP addresses. But I decided no more. I want to solve this properly, because I'm not going to do this again ever. And also, one of my coworkers wants to install the same installation. So I'm not going to his house and flash his sensors there. I want him to be able to do it himself. But that implies a little bit of work. Actually, a lot of work. So let's do it properly. Not just for myself, but also for my colleague. I'm not going to be his help desk, but I can make sure that what is there he can actually work with, and that I tested it myself. And I wanted to take out that home Wi-Fi dependency anyway. So I made these things throw up their own hotspots whenever you boot it. It will put up a stairless access point, and when you boot up a sensor, just put 5 volts to it, and if it can't find its server, it will also throw up its own access point. You can just connect to it with your phone, find your home Wi-Fi, or because you still can, or find the Starlet server, connect to that, and it will then start spewing its sensor data. If it loses it, it will start throwing back up its own Wi-Fi hotspot again, so you can debug the situation, and you don't have to take it down from the stairs and go back to your computer and attach the wires in Arduino IDE to see what the hell is going wrong. But because version 3 would involve quite some work, I plan to use some AI LLMs to use assistance on coding. Because I wanted to design especially the ESP8266 part in Arduino IDE properly, but I can't do C that good. I can create some classes, but I can't do memory management properly. I don't know what I'm doing. These LLMs do, and now so do I. Another thing that I wanted to solve was just have stuff be much more user friendly. So if I plug in a new sensor, I want it to announce itself. I just used MDNS for that. Whenever a device registers, it will talk to the MDNS servers, which runs on Linux, and it will get picked up in the pool. This backend software just queries the state, what are the known devices on my network? Oh, hey. These are the only devices on my network, so if one of them has sensor in the name, I'll show it in this list. The server, of course, throws up its own access point, and you can do the basic settings. But I discovered during development that it's quite annoying if you don't have internet on a development server and you want to install some new packages, which then involves switching around the internet connection or downloading them separately and uploading them. Super annoying. So I spent some nights on throwing up some host APD Voodoo, which disables the access point and enables joining your own local Wi-Fi network so that it can get internet access and download updates or do all that stuff. And then with a button, it can turn it all off again. It reboots the thing, the access point is back up, and you can continue your life. So when you first boot up one of those sensors, you get into a bit of an onboarding experience where you can set the sensor name, scan for Wi-Fi, and it will tell you some statistics about what it's doing, and very importantly, if the time of flight sensor still worked and if it's still attached, if you attached it properly. And it will also throw up a nice graph of the settings that it reads out. And an important one for me was over-the-air update. I want to be able to flash an image to the thing. So just drag and drop a .bin file from GitHub, which was doable. But when I found out that when creating a new image from Arduino IDE, it didn't pick up the LittleFS, which I'm using to store files on the file system for the web server, there's so many useless things that you have to take care about. And everybody doesn't want to worry about. So I had to switch to platform IO. This will probably go way too deep into details for the audience here, so I'll just skip that whole part. It's pain. I thought this was going to be easy. But actually, this stuff is much more easier. I made a little bit of UI so that you can edit the effects. You have just an add button. You can add fade-ins, fade-outs, set the time, start time, end time, select which LEDs will start running. And you have a browser preview and a hardware preview button that will actually play the animation. You can then make those nice animations and export them, or it will at least save them to the file system for now. And this becomes really powerful. In the web UI, I also had that previous stairs that you saw, and I wanted to have an updated version on it. So I was doing a little bit of an LLM litmus test. I asked all the big AIs with a very nicely crafted prompt, create me a set of 3D stairs that have walls, sideboards, have my LEDs. I told it all the components. I told it how I wanted it placed. And the new latest greatest DeepSeek was the only one to actually come close, and it rendered this. Really, really cool. I could have done it myself, but it would have taken me a couple days. I predefined the list of steps, so it will automatically detect how many pins you've mapped in the pin mapper. So if you have a stair of only 6 steps, it will only draw a tiny little 6-step stair here. And of course, you can click around and drag on it and zoom it. This whole project is open source, which means I put well-documented code online. I'm still working on it actively because I want those things like the firmware update images and actually full-blown Raspi images. I want those all to be downloadable for eternity. And I want this whole system to work automatically for anybody that wants to try it out. Cat tags. Important. Meet Yeti. Yeti is my very cute, very deaf, very fluffy white cat. She is extremely naughty and is interested in everything that I'm doing while DIYing in the house. She will literally steal my tube of solder from the ground while I'm soldering and run away with it. It's an absolute terrorist. And Yeti can see lasers, which is not handy because she will stop at nothing before she tore everything down. And also things like LEDs, this is actually one of the housings that I just made. I had it put under the bottom stairs with a big chunk of wood in front of it. She tore it out, tore it open, chewed on the LEDs. Score so far is 2 of those sensors, 1 housing and 1 LED strip. It's always fun when the kids have grown up enough to leave your stuff intact, and now you have cats. So I have to redesign the sensor mount a little bit so that I can actually screw them down. Because I had intended to use magnets, but you can just put a cat's nail behind it and flip down the magnet, and then you can get to the wires and the laser. Demo time. I'm actually made this... this live demo, so let's see if it actually will work. It should. Yes. I will put this right here in front. Can everybody see this? Or most people see this? So here we have this pin mapper. Will it work? Or did I lose my life? I couldn't. I lost my Wi-Fi connection. So we connect here. There we are. You will see here that this is the configuration for these LEDs. If I hit any of these buttons, you will see one of these strips light up, so I can identify them, which is really handy. And we can visualize the sensors that I mounted with hot glue on the top here. I hope they will also work. Oh no. I need to plug in the power, actually. Yes. Oh, sure, of course. Shall I move the whole thing? Yeah? Oh. Yes? No problem. Weet ik niet. I hope it's high enough. Let's see if the sensors now work. There should be some live graphs plotting up here, popping up here. Of course, demo effects. You know how it goes. Did it kill my Wi-Fi again? That's very possible. I have an extra adapter. So, killed my extra Wi-Fi. Oh. There we are. But no sensor data. Well, we'll just skip that part. I do know that this part works. So these are the LED stairs. You can pan around and zoom that. And you can have one of the effects that you defined earlier, like for instance the one that I called light them down. You can just preview that in the browser. And it will even display the hidden LED strips exactly the same way. But you can also hit hardware preview, and then it will do exactly the same thing right here. Those effects, thank you. Those effects can then be tuned right here in the browser. You can say, I want the start time to be changed. I want the brightness that they end up in to be changed. Select all or none or odd or even steps. And there are several different effects that you can reach with that. One of the fun ones is the sequence animation or the shifting animation, which actually uses one of those timelines inside the timeline. It dynamically constructs a new timeline element to update the position of the last element to the next. Let me just hit play because then you understand. So it starts by selecting those two in the center and it will fade them out from the bottom to the top. But you could also morph that into we can bounce it, yeah, sure. Let's bounce it after 8 steps and make the amount of shifts like 70. This will go really fast now. It will do 70 shifts in 5 seconds. So if there's anybody that doesn't appreciate flashing lights, please look to the side now. I will do it only on the beamer screen and not with the LEDs because that'll possibly kill your eyesight. But you can create these sorts of runner effects with this. And it can also loop over from the top to the bottom and all sorts of stuff like that. I really enjoy building stuff like this. For me. But very good question. I actually planned on teasing the cats with it, but I think it will just backfire on me, so I probably should not. I also have ideas for different sensor types, so I also fly micro drones. I could detect when a drone comes flying by and then turn it into a little sort of landing strip effect, stuff like that. But there's just no use really for making all that fun stuff. I also figured I could make it do music visualization stuff. Cool, but why? This is really just functional tech. It needs to light the stairs, and that's what it does, and a whole lot more to make that effective. I think that about concludes my presentation. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Sure. Oh, we have the best.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As a tester, I'm wondering what happens if one person comes from the top and the other from the bottom.
It will not play a new animation when the current animation is active. Just really simple logic. I know that this animation takes 12 seconds. If in those 12 seconds somebody comes up from the bottom, I will not stop the current animation, but just start it.
You start a new animation.
I just ignore the new animation and make sure that the current animation can play out.
Okay, so someone will end up in the dark then.
Yeah, but how often in practice, do you end up in a situation where you and your wife are both going up and down the stairs at the same time?
I just want to say that if this is a situation that happens, you will also bump into each other at the middle of the stairs, so this is a non-issue.
Exactly. Any other questions? All right, no?
Well, sorry for stating the obvious, but what did your wife say about all this?
She loves it. She missed it when it's been broken for a couple of weeks while I was rebuilding this. So there were many questions. Is it done yet? I told them it would be done before Hacker Hotel, and it's done. Thank you very much.